We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, prophesying concerning the Lord Jesus. As we all know, you've heard me say this many times here, that Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. He prophesied about the Lord Jesus. And this is what it says. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spittle. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set, and this is what I want you to see. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now, as I called your attention to that, as I said just a little bit before I read the scripture, concerning prophecy of the Lord Jesus, we all know as you go over into the New Testament and you read about Jesus and about his how they treated him, that all of those things that said there, was true, that they did whip him with a cat of nine tails upon his back. They did pluck his beard out. They did spit in his face. And all of these things that they did to him did come true. All the prophecy that Isaiah prophesied about the Lord Jesus did come true. And what I want you to see there is, and it came true also is, and that he set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem. Now, if I would take a text tonight, my text would be finish the course. Finish the course. Now I'd like to think that I started well in the Christian life. I'd like to think that I started well in the pilgrimage, as we are pilgrims on this on our way to heaven. But one thing I do want to be sure, and you've heard me say it before, I want to be sure that I finish my course well. I want to make sure that I don't quit. I want to make sure I don't want to quit. I don't want to get discouraged along the way. I don't want to over the wayside, but I want to be determined. And so we all know here tonight that Jesus is our example. Is that not right? In other words, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if I'm not following Christ, then don't follow me, because Jesus is our example. He is our perfect example. And so I think that we can learn something here by looking at our perfect example. Example here of how that you and I are to finish the course and have a goal, and that we are to press toward that goal. As the Apostle Paul said, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He had a goal. And the Apostle Paul said there at the end, that I've kept the faith, I finished the course. And so that's what we want to talk about here tonight. The sad thing is that many people that starts out on this journey don't finish. A lot of people that starts out, they do fall by the wayside. They come up against the devil and they fall and they fail and they drop out. And so I want to look at this tonight here and see if we can be encouraged here tonight to make sure that we finish well. Now let me just say this, and just say this in a way, I guess, to try to get us to see what kind of society that we're living in today. See all the stuff that are going on in our society, and let me just say this: I love America. I still love America. I still think that this is the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. And I'm thankful that God allowed me to be born here. And I'm glad for the freedoms that we have here. And I'm thankful for the men and women that have fought and died in order that we could have what we have here. And it hurts me as I see and think about what that has happened here on our watch, and what has happened in our country in our generation, or in this time in which that we're living. I'm talking about all the things that are going on, all these liberal movements that are going on, LGBT or whatever it is, and all the Islamic stuff, and all the Muslim, and all the liberals, and all of this stuff that are going on. But even with all that stuff, and I don't need to rehash that to let you know what's going on, but as Christian, we're still here. Is that not right? In other words, we're still here in the midst of all this, but the question is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're just going to say, well, society is in such a bad shape. There's nothing that we can do. We can't make any difference as a church. We can't make any impact in this world. So what are we going to do? No matter who's in control, our job as Christians does not change. No matter what's going on in this world, the responsibility of our church is still the same as it always was. It has not changed. We're to stay true to the Lord and His Word, and we're to stand tall. Now, in this hour, we need to set our faces like a flint and to be faithful to God. Is that not right? We need to be faithful. And so, may the Lord help us in His way and in our hearts as we stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for boldness as we stand in these days in which we live. And as I read and studied, and I read a little bit, you may not be able to determine that by the way that I am, but I do read some common current events and some things that are going on in our country. I'm very curious. I'm very want to know things. And one of the things that Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the Muslims, one of the things that they count on us as Americans is, and this is what they say about American people. They say that American people will not stick to a cause. They say that they just will not, as a nation, we can keep our minds on something for a couple of weeks, they say, but then it seems like we lose interest, even in the freedom of our nation. So what we're saying is, they think we're quitters. They think that we ain't going to see something through. They think that, even with our freedom, even with the war on ISIS and the war on all this, if we'll just wait it out, if we'll just lay back a little bit, they'll let their guards down and they'll lose interest in this, and then we'll be able to attack. So that's how they feel about us. That's how they feel about what's going on. So just because something ain't happening right now, I don't think that ISIS has forgot about us. But anyway, here, with that being in mind right here, we are ruled in America. We're ruled by our pleasures, and we're ruled by our pocketbooks instead of being ruled by principles. Now, which seems to have gone by the wayside. The principles that we used to live by, or America used to live by, seemingly has gone by the wayside. We now live in what I would call the Jerry Springer era. Most of you all know who he is. And if you don't know, you surely ain't missing nothing. We're living in that society where absolutely weird and perverted things are now the norm. The things that are weird and the things that are perverted, that's the normal thing. The people like you and I as Christians who stand for right and for righteousness are the ones who are looked down on. And so too many pastors a rule by the size of the crowds. Too many pastors are ruled by the amount of the offerings, and so too many Christians are ruled by their peers rather than by Scripture, and so here they stick with a project as long as they see some excitement about it, and they can see some success going on with it. So the Scriptures here prophesize that Jesus would set his face like a flint and he wasn't going to be deterred. In other words, for what was he going to set his face like a flint? The answer is found in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face, and there it is, to go to Jerusalem. Now, why Jerusalem? Why was he so content on getting to Jerusalem? Why was he so content on not letting anything to deter him or to prevent him from getting to Jerusalem? Why did he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem? The reason is that Calvary was there. In other words, why go to Calvary? And we all know as Christians that is where that he would go and pay our sin debt, on the cross of Calvary. And that is where that he would die for us, and that is where that the blood of Jesus Christ would be shed to cleanse us from all of our sin. Jesus said here, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Why? Why should he be raised the third day? Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God the Father, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now any hope for salvation, if you have any hope whatsoever of salvation, of being saved and going to heaven, depends upon Jesus going all the way to Calvary to die for our sins. In order for us to have hope, Jesus absolutely had to go to Calvary, and he had to die there on the cross and shed his blood in order for you and I, or for anyone, to be saved. That was absolutely essential. In order for that to happen, he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification, the Bible said. Jesus had a goal. And that goal was that he was going to Jerusalem, and he was going there because of Calvary. He was going there because that was the place where he was to die for the sins of the world. He had a goal. And nothing was going to turn him aside. He set his face like a flint. And listen, as I said a while ago, he is our example. For even hereunto were ye come, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He left us an example. We should follow him. Somebody's asked me, wouldn't you like to be like this preacher? I said, no, I don't want to have no desire to be like that preacher. I just want to be like Jesus. If I'm like Jesus, then everything's going to be all right. And so he is our example. He is the one that we should look to. Look what Philippians 2, 5, and 6 says. We think about Jesus as being our example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient. Here this is again, about setting his face as a flint toward Jerusalem. He said he humbled himself, and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, the days that we're living in, as I said a while ago, they look dark. But however the darker it gets, the closer you and I are getting to the morning. And so with that being said, I want you to know that Jesus is coming back. And I'm persuaded that he's coming back, and I thank the Lord that the Son shall come. In the meantime, we need to set our faces like a flint. We need to have a go. We need to keep our eye looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Now, so in this old dark world, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be setting our face like a flint, regardless of what's going on in this nation, regardless of the turmoil that is going on in the world, and regardless of how dark it looks, we are to set our face like a flint. And I believe, as it said in the book of Esther, told little Esther, that little girl, told her, her uncle did, Mordecai told her, said, "You was born for such a time as this." And I can believe that you and I are here for such a time as this, to be a light in this old dark world. We not be able to make any difference in California or New York, but we can make a difference in Greenville. And we can make a difference in Union Temple. We can make a difference where we work at. We can make a difference wherever that we are if we'll just stay the course. If we'll just not be detoured, if we'll not be set off course. But look what Philippians 3:13 says. Brethren, the Apostle Paul speaking, "I count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So run, 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, that ye may obtain. In other words, if you're going to win the race, you've got to run the race. Is that not right? If you're going to finish, if you're going to win, you got to finish the course. And I don't want to stop short of the finish line. And I know that you do not want to stop short of the finish line. I want to go all the way to the finish line being faithful, because 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." Now, a steward is somebody who manages something for somebody else. And that is all that we are here. We're here as manager of the things of God. We are to manage the things that belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And we're steward. And it says this right here, that it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. It does not say that it's required of a steward that they can sing good. It does not say it's required of a steward that they can preach good. It does not say that it's required of a steward that they can teach good or do something like this. But it says it's required of a steward what everybody is able to do, and that is to be faithful. It's required. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request, but it's a requirement that you and I, and if we're saved, we are stewards. We're stewards of God to manage his time and his money and his everything that he has. We're to be faithful. And so that is what he has said to us. Sometimes we don't really think about all the things that Jesus faced or what was before him as the devil sought to turn him around and keep him from going to the cross. Sometimes we don't think about all that. We think, oh, he was God. Well, he didn't have to deal with any of this stuff we have to deal with. Oh, I think you'd be surprised with all that he had to deal with in order to finish the course. And I find the things that Jesus faced are a lot like the same things that you and I face. And let me just give you a few of them. I want you to see that he was rejected, but steadfastly he kept pressing on. Luke 9:51-53 says, And again it came to pass, when the time was come, that he, that's Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. There it is. Why go to Jerusalem? That's where Calvary's at. Why Calvary? That's where the cross is. Why the cross? That's the only way Jesus' blood had to be shed in order for people to be saved. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritan to make ready for him. And look here, I said he was rejected. He was dismissed. And they did not receive him. They wouldn't receive Jesus because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Despite Jesus being dismissed, despite him being rejected, he still continued on his mission that was promised, that was prophesied 700 years earlier. He still went on with his mission to go to Jerusalem. And I want to say this, I have found probably in my ministry, we said they rejected Jesus. I guess there have been about as many people that have rejected the message that I preach as received it. But nevertheless, that is not to deter us, or that is not to cause us to quit, just because some people will not receive, and they might reject when you want to go up and witness to them, when you want to go up and share Jesus with them, and they say, I don't want to hear that stuff, get away from me, leave me alone. Just because they reject that does not mean that you are to quit or to lose faith. When they did that to Jesus, he just kept his eyes on the goal, and that was going to Jerusalem. Set his face like a flint going to Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice here what the disciples, the response of the disciples that happened one time while they were Jesus. If you look in Luke, it's in 9:54 and 56. Says when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. That's not the spirit of love. That's not the spirit of God. To say, should we call down fire and destroy these people? He said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now James and John was saying, and that's what we say sometimes when we look at all these people that commit these horrible crimes, we say they ought to be destroyed. They ought to just be took out and executed. And that was the same thing that James and John said. These people ought to be destroyed. These people here, they need to be destroyed. They deserve it. So let's pray for them that way, that God will just send fire down from heaven and destroy this bunch of wicked people. But Jesus says, no, no, no. No, that's the wrong spirit for any of us to have. That's not the right spirit for you to have as a Christian. We're here as Christians to win people that are lost and unsaved to Jesus, not to destroy them. Is that not right? No matter how wicked they are, we're here to win them to the Lord rather than destroy them. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now that's what it's all about. Even though he was rejected, even though they did not appreciate him, it did not keep him from steadfastly setting his face toward Jerusalem. Luke 13:23-22. He went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward, there it is again, toward Jerusalem. Everything was, all of his focus was on Jerusalem. Rejected him, dismissed him, wouldn't allow him in, but he continued on going through the villages and through the cities, continued preaching to them, as the scripture says here, with his face journeying toward Jerusalem. So he was dismissed, rejected, then he was denounced, but still continued on his way. Now look what verse 10 and 14 says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmities 18 years, and was bound together, and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, or they were angry, because that Jesus, now listen to this, because that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, despite being denounced, Jesus continued on his way. Now, let me say this right here. Now, here was Jesus, done something good, a great work. He did it and delivered a woman from an infirmity that she had had for 18 years. She couldn't even as much as lift herself up. And here was these religious people criticizing him and finding fault with him, and saying it was wrong for him to do this on the Sabbath day. And they were denouncing him for doing good. They were denouncing him for working a great miracle. And there's a lesson here for you and I as we talk about finishing the course. And let me say this. It doesn't matter as a Christian what you do for Jesus. It don't matter what it is. And you people, a lot of you do a lot of different things for Jesus. And there's things that you do that I don't even know about, and I don't even need to know about. But I want you to say this. It don't matter what kind of good work you're out there doing for Jesus. There are going to be some of them old long-tongued Baptists are going to criticize you. And they're going to try to find fault with you. And they're going to say bad things about you, even though you're out there doing the work of the Lord, and you're out there trying to make a difference, you're out there trying to show the love of Christ, there's going to be people, even that are called your brothers, that are going to denounce you and saying that's not right. And so what are you saying? I'm saying, if you know, don't let that stop you. Just because they say that. Here they did that to Jesus. What did he do? He kept on healing. He kept on going. Kept on teaching.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.